Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Money Matters. I'm Chris Rudy with Kingston Wealth Management, joined today by Mike Flaherty, also of Kingston Wealth Management. John is out, hopefully enjoying a weekend, hopefully like you are in Central Illinois. The cold temperatures are starting to kick in, but we're here every week at this time to talk about some of the things going on in the financial news, which this week there's been quite a few, and hopefully I'll also touch on some topics that are helpful to you as you begin to plan for retirement, potentially plan for education. We try to hit on all the areas we think may or may not be helpful for everyone. So glad to have you with us. And Mike, it's the week started off kind of like we've been seeing most of the time, with a kind of a steady low volatility, and it was looking that way up until Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday, where we saw a big run up in the market in anticipation of the tax bill. And then you had Friday come along where we're debating, do we have the votes? Do we not have the votes? And kind of in the meantime, we get the information on General Flynn. And while that's, we still don't know where that's going, ultimately, it really kind of sent mid-morning Friday markets into some volatility. Kind of initial thoughts or takeaways?
Yeah, as you mentioned, a lot of positive news to start the week. Saw again another week where the Dow, S&P, NASDAQ all hitting record highs again. The Dow well over 24,000, S&P up over that 2,600 mark. So pretty incredible numbers when you think of where we've come over the last year. And a lot of it, you know, we wrapped up November, and it looks like the 13th straight month on a total return basis for monthly advances for the S&P, which is pretty big, you know.
Yeah.
As you continue to talk about, just month after month, this market continuing to move to the upside. And a lot of it, as we've talked over the last 6-7 months, has been driven by strong earnings, you know, good fundamental factors. So even as we talk about the likelihood of a tax bill getting done, or whether they've got the votes or not, there's a lot of strong underlying factors that are continuing to push this market higher. I think this week we saw consumer spending had a nice increase for October. Personal income was up for the second month in a row. So you couple that with inflation being down over the past year, and that really helps provide a boost to, you know, especially middle-income families,
certainly,
who are paying less than, you know, what's usually seen in that price increase. So it lends to the expectations of a strong holiday season, in which traditionally December has always been, not always, but over the history, usually one of the better, if not the best, month of the year for market returns.
Well, and I think we saw just even last week with the Black Friday shoppers, both in person, but especially online, multiple reports out there that if probably the strongest online shopping day in history, which I don't think surprises anybody who's maybe seen what Amazon is offering or some of the deals that are out there. And so, yeah, I'm glad you hit on that, because despite, you know, the short-term volatility that we'll probably see from either a combination of tax uncertainty or what or will not come out of the investigation for General Flynn, and maybe how far up the chain that ultimately leads to, you know, that those are the kinds of things that, you know, I think you and I both try to focus on with clients, with people that we meet, people that have questions, because, you know, we have seen such a positive continued long run in this market. And it really has been. It's been remarkable. And for folks that have stayed in it, have had a disciplined, diversified plan, have fared very well. And to take a story like this, or a combination of stories that we've seen develop late this week, and try to make any type of decision on that as far as how it affects their long-term plan, these are the types of events you really can't try to react to, because, you know, we've made comments before that, you know, day traders, big institutions trying to make short-term plays will try to use these things and try to move a market on a temporary basis. But the things you hit on, the strong earnings, the increased wages, hopefully we do see some positive effect for middle and low income families from a tax perspective. Those are all the positive things that drive the basis of a financial plan. And I think, tell me if you agree, that also just kind of illustrates why you need to have that plan, because there are things that pop up, and there has been over the last 10 years, whether they're big major stories or things that seem like they're going to be major but only last a couple days. But if you don't fight that urge to not do anything sometimes, that's where you can really invite the trouble.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you talk about all the things that are happening. It was this the same week, right, that North Korea fired that missile again. And it almost seems like that's already forgotten and overshadowed just because of the events Friday. So I know you and I talked about it this week of when that happened, Tuesday or Wednesday, that kind of the same thing. The market responded right away, and after about an hour or so, kind of went back to business as usual, and market reached new highs on that day.
Yeah, certainly something that we'll continue to keep an eye on as we know more details about maybe how everything will roll out. Hopefully we'll spend maybe an entire show or at least a good portion of one kind of discussing how some of these things will roll out. And we may even touch on here in the second part of the show some of the things that we see maybe proposed, some of the things that we at least know have come to light about the tax bill, and got a couple other good topics that we want to hit on. Also, I need to take a quick break. Back in just 1 minute with more Money Matters.
It's time for a change. Bloomington Normal Community Bank recently expanded from a loan office to a full-service bank, and we've been so well-received that we needed a new location. We're still on East Empire, but now at Carnahan Drive, near the airport.
We started in 1960 as a small community bank in Morton, and we have been a resource to Bloomington Normal businesses for decades. Backed by the strength of Morton Community Bank, with assets over $3 billion, we are large enough to handle your personal or commercial requirements.
Our bank is employee-owned. That means we have a vested interest in the success of the bank and its customers, and we have deep roots in this community. Call us at 309-433-9500, and one of our bankers will answer the phone.
Employee-owned, hometown service. That's Bloomington Normal Community Bank. Member FDIC. Look for the clock tower and you'll know. We have time for you.
When I ask our moms and dads why they chose Katie's Kids, they don't hesitate to tell me that it's the low adult-to-child ratio in our classrooms. And it's the experienced and patient teachers that guide and care for their children every day. Hi, this is Katie, owner of Katie's Kids Learning Center. Our primary caregiving model ensures your child receives the one-on-one attention they want and deserve. What's important to you? Call or come in today to Katie's Kids in Normal or in Bloomington, or visit us online at katieskids.net. Developing relationships, the heart of quality care.
Welcome back to the show, Money Matters. I'm Chris Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. Glad to have you join us this weekend. Talked about in the first part of the show, Mike, of kind of all of the things that we've seen go on in the news. It's kind of some of the major headlines as far as what's going on with General Flynn, tax bill, and oh, by the way, you mentioned North Korea also fired a missile this week, which seems to get overlooked a little bit. But want to kind of change gears a little bit and to focus on a topic I think maybe some people don't think is realistic, but something that you and I use in our conversations to really kind of illustrate the needs to really think for a long term. And that's, can we afford to live to age 100? And again, it sounds way out there, and somebody, many people we talk to say, oh, that's not going to apply to me. But when you really drill down into the numbers, we see that on average, a two-person family retiring around age 65, at least one of the spouses will live into their 90s and maybe even 100, depending on kind of where we see things going. And it really kind of underscores, number one, you've really got to save for the long term, because we're looking at people being in retirement, even if you retire at age 65, almost as long as your working career. So you need to make sure you're doing the things right on the front end as far as savings, and then also investing for the long term, and maybe not running to the idea of, well, I need to be real conservative as I go into retirement, because I think you'd agree that you still need those assets to grow as you're retiring, even if you are, kind of determining a responsible spend down rate. You're going to need some growth in there to keep up with even just things like the cost of living. But maybe touch on how people can save a little bit longer.
Yeah, I think kind of as you hit on, the amount of time spent in retirement is getting longer and longer. So, you kind of hit on the 65-year-olds, probably 25% chance that they'll live into their 90s. And basically on some actuarial studies, 1 in 10 will live to be 100 or longer. So when we talk about the importance of savings, you know, you got the idea that you're going to have a strain on Social Security, right? When Social Security was initially set up, the first time retirement benefits were kind of programmed in there in 1940, your average life expectancy of a 65-year-old was 79 years. So those benefits were only going to be paid out for 14 years. Whereas now you're getting into people living to, you know, average life expectancy of 87, 88. And as we mentioned, the amount of people that are living to 90 and above, well, that's a pretty big strain that the program wasn't designed for a 30-year retirement. So as you talk about how can we save more, what do we need to do? You know, Social Security, unfortunately, needs to be a smaller and smaller part of people's retirement plan. It's a nice kind of a cushion there, something that maybe can help provide some fixed income on a monthly basis as you enter retirement. But we really need to make sure young people approaching retirement are putting enough away to provide those resources that they're going to need to supplement that income throughout those 3 or 4 decades of retirement.
Yeah, and I'm glad you hit on that, because I think what you're really describing there is that we have more of a shift to a self-reliance in retirement. And by that, I mean, we're getting away from the employer-sponsored pensions where you put your time in at a company and they're going to agree to take care of you for a portion of your income for the rest of the year. So, you know, some places, you know, abroad and locally still have the option for a pension plan, or some people retiring today may still have that. But the vast majority of working people out there probably won't have any type of fixed stream of income of payments over and above what Social Security is, which you just pointed out and we see all the time, is very hard to exist on solely. So what's that mean? It means that we have to, you know, get better about educating people about time value of money, saving in those early years when you can, because you can't get the time back. You can always try to make those catch-up contributions, especially after age 50 in many plans where they allow you to make up for some years, but what you can't make up is the time. So really kind of focusing on that self-reliance piece of, hey, there's not going to be anybody out there that's going to just continue to give you money in retirement. And if you have to make those smart, responsible, long-term growth decisions with your own assets, and hopefully you've got some resources either working with a financial planner or somebody even through a benefits coordinator at your work if you're in a 401k plan, perhaps. So it's something that I think can't get emphasized enough. But, you know, we kind of illustrated the problems a little bit, but, you know, there are some ways. It's not all doom and gloom. There are some ways or some ideas people can think of to try to stem the tide. And one that I don't think people want to hear a lot, but could be timely, especially when you're thinking about things like increased healthcare costs, is retire later. That's an option we see for some people?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you mentioned, that's never the one everyone wants to hear, right? You laid out these plans of retiring at age 62, 65, 70, whatever it is, and kind of crunch the numbers and realize, well, maybe we need to push that off. But even from what we've seen in working with clients, even sometimes 1 or 2 years can make a huge difference.
Certainly.
In the longevity of that plan, knowing that's another year of income coming in, another year of IRA 401k money that's not being distributed to support that income, another year that Social Security benefits are being delayed. So all of those things can have a significant impact on the success of that plan over, again, a 2, 3, maybe even 4 decade retirement.
Yeah. And even, you know, I think we've seen it quite a bit. Even if you retire from your primary career, maybe one you've spent a lot of time in, you know, it's a big adjustment for people going from working a 40 plus hour work week to doing nothing, essentially, other than kind of a hobby or things that they would do around the house or travel to an extent, if that's something they choose to. So we've actually seen a lot of people just for their own kind of mental capacity or, you know, to kind of feel like they need to get up and do something. Maybe you don't continue to work full time, but if you can pick up a job supplementing some of that income so you don't have to pull off your 401k savings in such a large way. You know, even a part-time job, something where you work on your own hours, you know, I think can be beneficial not only financially, but for kind of your mental health as you're in retirement as well. So another option to consider. Obviously, we've hit on it multiple times. Save more and spend less. Again, it sounds great, harder to do, but you know, maybe Mike, you can touch on some of the things you can do maybe within your 401k plan. I know some companies will automatically enroll you, for example, or maybe even try to raise your deferral if that's something that you would opt in for. A couple options there, aren't there?
Yeah, and as you mentioned, I mean, that's something we've seen as part of this crisis is the not making that savings a top priority, right? And we know people have different reasons for it and whatever it is, but, you know, you go back into the mid-90s and personal savings rate exceeded about 7%, right? And we always talk to people about trying to put away 10 to 15% of your income away annually to
right.
fill these gaps. In September of 2017, that number was down to about 3.1%. Right. So you talk about what you're putting away on an annual basis, whether it's savings account, investments, 401k, that's going to be hard to fill those needs later in life with just that small amount. So the more we can do to increase those savings levels, investment levels, and reduce expenses, which is really where I think a lot of it comes to, right? The discipline, budgeting, and knowing what you're spending and trying to avoid some of the impulse buys, which I'm sure you can attest to as much as I can, that we're all probably guilty of from time to time.
Well, especially this time of year.
Yeah, this time of year rolling around, that's more likely to happen. So I think we can come back to the third one here after our break. But again, the more we can do early in the, you know, well into our working years, as well as we get closer to retirement, to have a disciplined strategy around this, the more likely we're going to be successful.
I think we all know deep down what we have to do. It's just a little bit harder to execute sometimes. Need to take our final break. When we come back, we'll kind of wrap up the show and touch on some of the things looking forward. Back in just 1 minute.
Some of the best experiences in life are carefully planned down to the last detail to ensure their enjoyment. Retirement living is no different. If you haven't thought about your options, Westminster Village wants to remind you that now is the time to plan ahead and do your research. Westminster Village believes in celebrating life by providing excellence in senior living through a continuum of care and services. Call today to schedule a tour and see how the campus can fit into your plans for the future. It's never too early to plan ahead, so be sure to ask about waiting list opportunities as well. Westminster Village is a continuing care retirement community offering independent living, licensed assisted living, and skilled nursing care, all on its 40-acre campus in Bloomington. Ask questions and stay updated by following them on Facebook and Twitter at Westminster VLG, or visit the website at westminstervillageinc.com to schedule your campus visit.
Have you been to Baxter's Restaurant and Chop House lately? If you haven't, you're missing one of the best dining experiences in the area. Enjoy a certified Angus beef hand-cut steak, or perhaps some of their seafood that's flown in daily, as fresh as you can get. Baxter's also features fine wines and spirits to complement their menu choices. And don't forget about daily happy hour specials and gift cards for the holidays. When you're looking for an enjoyable lunch or dinner experience, look no further than Baxter's, located on East Empire across from the airport and now open in Champaign-Urbana.
Welcome back to Money Matters. I'm Chris Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. Glad to have you here this weekend. Just got done, you know, touching on a topic I think is hopefully important to many people out there. And it's just kind of the underscoring the importance of saving for that long term. But before we get too far, I want to thank our sponsors that are with us each and every week. Bloomington Normal Community Bank, Baxter's Grill, Katie's Kids Learning Center, and Westminster Village. Always glad to kind of bring the show to you with them. Great businesses here locally in McLean County. Mike, you know, kind of the last point wrapping up kind of everything we've talked about today, taking into account all the current events that we've seen, mentioning the importance of retirement savings, getting that plan, is really kind of the step of working with an advisor, working with somebody who you trust to kind of help you outline a plan. And I know that's something you and I are always willing to, you know, take questions, first visit. If you ever want to come to our office and just kind of discuss some of the things on your mind, obviously do with no cost or obligation to continue. If you've got questions, you can reach us at our office at 309-663-9477. Or if you prefer, you can shoot us a question at kingstonwealthmanagement.net. There's a place for your questions to send in, and if you prefer, we can contact you that way. But, you know, Mike, the importance of working with an advisor, especially at a time like this, really can't understate it, can we?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, you know, even as you mentioned, while we sit down and talk with people for free and no obligation, you know, even as you get into a financial planning arrangement where you are paying asset management fees or, consulting fees or hourly fees, it definitely can be worth it when you think about any of those missteps. So we've talked on the show many times of people, you know, responding to what's happened in the market on a short-term basis and thinking they can time it or do something different. So having a trusted advisor, you can kind of talk to you those concerns or issues about versus just doing it on your own. But then even just addressing items like Social Security and retirement income cash flow and proper asset allocation and diversification to make sure you're not taking more risk than you want, but still taking enough risk to get that return over a long period of time. Those are the things a financial professional can really sit down with you and make sure not only that you're doing it right, but you understand why you're doing it that way.
Yeah, and I think you just hit on that. Understanding why you're doing something is so important because it helps you buy into committing to that plan. If you're not aware of something, don't be afraid to ask questions. We put that out with all of our conversations. We want clients, we want people that we work with to ask us questions to understand why they're maybe doing something versus another, because I think that goes a long way, not only to develop the trust that you need to have with your advisor to keep you from making that big mistake when things either occur in the news or we see a change in the markets, but to then also just kind of make sure that you know you're working with somebody who's reputable. And I know that's something that we've hit on before of, you know, do your homework on the front end of who you may potentially be sharing some of your most important information with, and there's a number of different ways, but FINRA broker check, as just kind of off the top of my mind, is something that somebody could go to check people out, make sure that they're you know who they say they are. Hard to believe we're at the end of the show, Mike. I appreciate you being here this weekend. Hope everybody has a good rest of their weekend, and again, we'll continue to kind of hit on some of these topics in the news as we get further development. But until then, this is Chris Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management saying thanks for listening.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.
Many investors are unsure about the advice they are getting from their stockbroker or their financial planner. Individual investors owe it to themselves and their families to get a second opinion on their investments from a seasoned manager. The professionals at Kingston Wealth Management will make sure investments are consistent with your investment goals, defensive, generate sufficient income and growth, and are aligned with economic market conditions. What worked for your investment 6 years ago, or even 6 months ago, just may not be working for you today. We offer you a special, comprehensive second opinion, starting with a no-cost, no-obligation review of your current situation, goals, and concerns. We'll perform a thorough review of your financial plan and investment portfolio. For more information, call us at 663-9477 to schedule your personal review. Kingston Wealth Management, financial services above and beyond.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.